Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2. 2 Kings, chapter number 2. Good to be in the presence of God tonight. I've been a nervous wreck all day long. I have the utmost respect for your pastor, and I certainly don't want to mess nothing up. The Lord knows my heart. I just want to be used of the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate the honor to get to stand here. 2 Kings chapter 2. I've been studying the life of Elijah and Elisha in my quiet time. Over the last 2 months, I've been stuck on them. And if my Elisha generation does not get a hold of what the Elijah generation has, we're done. And somewhere along this thing, these young people got to realize that it's our turn to start picking some stuff up and getting some mantles and picking up the things of God that He has in our lives stored for us. And inside of 2 Kings chapter 2, we find the story here where Elijah is fixing to be caught up in the chariot of fire. And Elisha is following the coattail of his preacher. And Elisha is seeking after the mantle that Elijah has. The mantle where Elijah smote the waters. This is a genuine, they call him a Talik from Israel. When I started preaching this, one of my friends gave it to me. And this is the closest thing that they know of what the mantle would have somewhat looked like in those days. But Elijah had that mantle on him at all times, and the mantle signified and was a picture of the power of God that rested upon that man of God. And Elisha, in the book of 1 Kings, around chapter 20 or so, you'll find where Elijah went down and Elisha was plowing in the fields. And Elijah hit Elisha with that mantle. And he got something on him that he never got over. He went and sold everything he had, quit everything he was doing, and something hit him that he never had hit before. And he said, I've got to have what that man of God has. I want to say this just real quick and I'm going to move on. I'm glad one day as a little boy, an old preacher with the King James Bible come by where I was, and he hit me with an old time mantle, and I ain't never got over what that old preacher gave me, and I'm just a young preacher looking for a mantle on my life. Why is it important that we bring our family to an old fashioned revival? Because you don't know, it could be this week that they get hit with a mantle and they never get over it. But Elisha here is chasing that mantle. And inside of 2 Kings chapter number 2, there's three or four separate times. Notice verse number 3. Verse number 2, I'm sorry. And Elisha said unto Elisha, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Down through this chapter, there's three or four separate times here where Elijah looked at Elisha and said, oh, Elisha, you've done well, son. You followed me well. Just stay right here. You don't have to go no further. And Elisha said, say what you want, sir, but as long as God lives and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You can be seated. When the Lord was birthing this in my heart, I was in my living room. I'm so excited. I'm going to go drive home tonight and get my wife and my brand new, just out of the box, 8-month baby boy. I'm talking about he's going to be a linebacker. He's already 150 pounds, only 8 months old. And I was being a good daddy. Becky was all shopping, being a good mama. Say amen. And I was sitting in the living room there, and I was sitting on the couch, and old Tucker, he likes him some Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And he was sitting there in that little jumper, and he was watching that Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. He's just a smiling. But Tucker, he don't like me or mama to leave the room. He's fine being in his jumper as long as he knows that you're in the room. And I sat there, and I was sitting in that seat on the couch, and little Tucker sitting in that jumper watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And I was trying, I had a Coca-Cola on my mind, and I was trying to, not Pepsi, Coca-Cola. I was trying to sneak over there and get me one of them cold Coca-Colas. And, but I had, you got to be easy, because if Tucker sees you slipping out, he'll start crying. So I was doing, you know, y'all know how it is. And I was trying to sneak out of there and get into the kitchen. And about that time, old Tucker, he swung that head back. And he stuck that big old lip out at his daddy. And he stuck him arms out. Well, I'd just been reading 2 Kings chapter number 2. And I've been reading this chapter, and I'd asked the Holy Ghost to give me some insight here. And I just read those times where Elisha told Elijah, he said, "I will not leave thee." And the reason I love reading the Word of God is because the Holy Ghost will read it with you. And the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart as I went and got Tucker out of that little jumper there. And I started carrying him into the kitchen, and the Holy Ghost nudged me. He said, "Do you realize what just happened?" He said, "All Tucker was saying when he threw them arms out at you, he said, 'Daddy, I don't care where you're going. I don't care what you're about to do. I don't care how long you're going to be gone. I don't care if you're just going outside to dig some dirt. I don't care what your plans are.' But Tucker was saying this, don't miss it. He said, 'Daddy, whatever you're about to do, just don't do it without me.'" Hey, hey, hey. And that's what Elisha was telling Elijah. He said, "Elijah, I don't care where you're going. I don't care what you're about to do. Just don't do it without me." Oh, for some people tonight that will look at God and say, "God, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how long you're going to be doing. Just don't do it without me." Had one man, he said, "That sounds like an awful selfish prayer. On top of my prayer list, I had to mark some stuff off, and at the top of my prayer list for the last month, every single morning, I've been saying, 'God, if you're going to send another revival in this world, just don't do it without me. God, if you're going to do something great, just don't do it without me. God, I want to see what Spurgeon saw. I want to see what Wesley saw. God, don't do it without me." Elisha just chasing Elijah everywhere he'd go, because he knew that's where the power of God was. Inside this room, there are people that you could get a hold of a mantle. You could get a hold of the power of God if you just got some grit inside of you and say, "I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if I got to move. I don't care what I got to do. Just get off of me, devil. I've got to get the power of God on my life." Whoa! Don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. There's four places here that the Word of God tells us that every time that Elijah said, "Tarry here," it was when God was sending Elijah to a new place. And when Elijah would go to that next place, there's four different places, and I kind of dissected and studied those places out, and it kind of teaches us about the progression that we have to go through if we're going to get the mantle of God on our life. I want to dig into the Word of God just for a few minutes, and I believe the Lord is already helping us. Thank you, Jesus. But notice, first of all, the very first time that Elijah looked at Elisha and said, "Tarry here," they were in a place called Gilgal. G-I-G-A-L. Gilgal literally means a circle. Here I find it is a place of beginnings. It is a place of beginnings. It was the place in Gilgal where Elijah took the mantle and smote Elisha with the mantle of God. And it is a place of beginning. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know this, but before you can get to the end, you've got to have a starting place. It does my heart good every now and then to reminisce
back to when I got my start in this race. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad one day I was lost and undone without God or His Son, and the sweet Holy Ghost came by, showed me that I was a sinner, showed me I was on my way to hell. I confessed my sins that day, and Jesus put me on the road to glory. It's a place of beginnings. But the word Gilgal means a circle. You know what most people do? They get a good start. They start off right. They start off with the King James Bible. They start off with the right music. They just keep going in one big circle. Like Moses and his people in the wilderness. They never progress towards the power of God because all they're doing is going in a gigantic circle. The same sins are still defeating them. The same problems are still struggling with them. And they never get victory in Christian life because they're going around in one big circle. I'm glad I got a beginning though. Man told me a story one time about his beginning. Said he grew up in a home, and inside this home where he grew up, he said that his mother was the main object because the daddy, while he was a boy, had a good job at the post office. Everything was wonderful. Everything was well. But the daddy began to get a hold of a beer bottle, and before he knew it, the beer bottle that he picked up, he could not put down. And before he knew it, he lost his job at the post office. He lost his wife. He lost his family. He lost his home and ended up living on the streets. Sin always complicates things, y'all. Said that inside this little home that he grew up in, is this man personally telling me the story. He said he grew up with a hatred for his own father, saying, "I don't ever want to be like my daddy." But you've heard him say that before, haven't you? He said that on time, make another long story short, by the time he was 19 years old, he was handcuffed up against a cop car going to prison for doing exactly what he said he'd never be. Him telling me the story, he said that he went inside that jail cell where they had him in the holding area there. And he said that it was inside of that little jail cell for the very first time that he heard a voice he'd never heard before. Is a voice unlike any voice he'd ever heard. He said that voice began to speak to his heart and said, "Don't you know there's got to be more to life than this? There's got to be more to life than just drinking. There's got to be more to life than just getting high all the time. There has to be somebody that's genuinely happy. Don't you know there's got to be more to life than just this?" He just sat there, and he said that it was weird because all the other fellas that got arrested with him got jail time and he got probation. He said on the way home in his mama's car, he said that on the way home, the same voice that was in the jail cell, now it's in that car. He didn't know he was under Holy Ghost conviction, but something was chasing him. Better than Jonathan's coon dog, say amen. And he was going down that car, down the road, and he said that same voice started saying, "You need to get in church, boy. You need to get in church." He didn't know Baptist. He didn't know Pentecostal. He didn't know. But luckily, he wound up in a, sure enough, leather lung, fire breathing, Holy Ghost, hell preaching Baptist preacher in the mountains of West Virginia. I asked him, I said, "How'd you pick?" He said, I worked at a gas station with a friend. That was the church he went to. He said, so he just went and sat on the back row. He said, and that preacher got up and began to preach the Word of God. He began to preach heaven sweet and hot and hell very hot. And he said, as that preacher began to preach, he said, Holy Ghost conviction came over him and scared him to death. I said, well, did you go to the aisle? He said, no, I ran out the back. Scared to death. A hacking, never been to church in his life, and landed in a West Virginia hacking preacher's church. I'm talking where the first five rows ain't safe, where you'll get a goober in the eyeball. I'm talking about hacking preaching. Terry Pace kind of preaching. You know what I'm talking about. That's what I was raised on. He said he left that church and cranked up the radio trying to get them voices out of his head. Now he's got the Word of God bouncing around in his mind. He's got the voice of the Holy Ghost bouncing through his head. He said he went down the road, lit his cigarette up, tried to do everything he could do to get that voice of God out of his head. He said, but no matter what he did, he couldn't shake the voice of God. He said he got home, went down in the basement where his room was, tried to get rid of the voice of God. He said he did everything he could do, but finally, he said he fell to his knees. He said, God, I can't take it no more. He said, God, that preacher said that you'd help me to quit drinking. He said, God, you know I'm trying and I can't quit trying. He said, God, that preacher said you could get me off the drugs. He said, so God, best I know how, I'm asking you to born me again like that preacher said. Didn't know nothing. Long hair. Dope smoking hippie by his testimony. Everything of the world on his life. But he had enough gospel to fall on his knees and ask Jesus to save him. I said, what happened next? By this time I was getting all excited. He said, I went down the road, went to my girlfriend's house. He said, I looked at her, said, honey, I done got born again. She never been to church either. She said, what in the world is born again mean? He said, I went down to church and did what the preacher said. She said, you reckon that mess is real? He said, honey, all I know to tell you, since I got out of jail, my heart been beating 1,000 miles a minute. He said, as soon as I got done praying, everything just went back to normal. The world can explain away a lot of things, but they can't explain the change Jesus makes in a man's life. She looked at him and said, I don't want nothing to do with that religion stuff you got. He said, all right, you want to go get something to eat? And the whole week went by. And he said, hey, honey, he said, I'm going back to hear that preacher in the morning. You want to go? And she looked around and realized she's in West Virginia. Said, ain't nothing else to do. May as well go to church. So they loaded that little old car up and drove down the road to church, and that preacher just skipped a couple pages and began to hack and spit in the announcements and preach all the way. I'm talking about just preach the house down. I said, what happened? He said, well, when the preacher started, she had her arms crossed and kind of like, what is this mess? He said, but something happened in the middle of that preacher's preaching. He said, I looked at her and now she's just staring at that preacher. He said, and I looked at her a few minutes later and she was... When the Holy Ghost squeezes you, stuff comes out. He was a squeezing her. And I said, what happened next? He said, the preacher just barely got done. He said, you'd have thought she had dynamite under her seat. He said, she piled out of that aisle, walked down the center aisle. The preacher didn't even say nothing about an altar call. He said, she looked at that preacher and said, I need what he got last week. And she got born again too. By this time, the man's just weeping, telling me what happened to him and his girlfriend. I said, what happened next? He said, well, the preacher told us we ought to get married. He said, so we went ahead and got married, got everything right. He said, God began to breathe in our lives and the power of God began to be so real to us that nothing could take its place. Said they got married. He said everything was wonderful. God was blessing their home. He said it wasn't just a month or two after they got saved and married. He said she turned up pregnant. And he said, things went on, and you know, 9 months later, the story, the baby comes, and he said, it was a Wednesday night, and they's fixing to go to the church house. He said, and a knock on the door came. That man telling the story was still in trouble with the law, doing his probation time from the drugs and stuff he'd been involved with, and the probation officer was just sneaky. Some of y'all may know about that. He was sneaky, and he just showed up there, trying to see if everything's all right. Said he walked in and that man that used to be a long-headed dope-smoking hippie, now he got his hair cut and God done put him clothed and in his right mind. I'm ignoring those rabbits running in front of me. But everything's all right. He said, that probation officer just started walking around and looking at the house, making sure everything's the way it ought to be. Said when the probation officer turned around, he had big tears in his eyes. He said, sir, I remember when I first met you at the jail that day. He said, I thought for sure your life was just going to be another number in the system. He said, I thought for sure you'd just be a lifer in prison. He said, when you called and told me you found religion, he said, I've had 1,000 of them tell me that. Most of them just say it to get out of trouble. He said, but I look and I've been watching you. He said, and sir, I'm a Christian man. He said, it blesses my heart because I cannot deny what God has done in your life. Over in the corner, that brand new, just a month old baby or so, laying in that crib. Said that probation officer walked over there and picked that little baby up. Said, sir, did you tell me right that all your father and your whole family line was drunks and alcoholics? He said, yes, sir. He said, and I was too before Jesus saved me. He said, ma'am, he turned to the lady and she told her testimony about how it's just sin and alcohol and drugs. He said, do you realize that the devil probably had great goals for this child's life to just be a wasted and another ruined life? If your granddaddy and his granddad all down the line was alcoholic, can't you see that the devil had a goal to waste this young man's life as well? He said, but since God's in this house, he said, since you've gave your lives to God, he said, there's no telling what God may be able to do with the life of this little boy. You say, Brother C.T., what's this have to do about having a good beginning? Why are you telling us this long story? Because you got to understand the real reason of it all. That man that was a drunk, that was my daddy. The woman that didn't want nothing to do with God, that was my mama. And the little baby over here laying in that crib, that by all rights ought to be in the mountains of West Virginia tonight, smoking dope and making crack and living a life of a wasted life. That's that preacher tonight telling you that if God can do it for my family and if God can give my family the beginning, God can reach into the gutter of your home and save you and touch you and heal you and give you a new start for the glory of God. Whoa! Yes! Somebody, one of my friends I went to high school with, they said, Brother C.T., don't you get tired of going to church every night? Don't you get tired of living your life on the road? Don't you get weary? And every now and then I do, but just one glimpse back of where I ought to be tonight. One glimpse back at where the grace of God has brought my family. I'm telling you, it puts me in a gear to know that God can save a life. What time is it? No, I ain't worried about that. Somebody tell me what time it is. Right now in the mountains of West Virginia, at Drunkard, my daddy standing behind the pulpit preaching the Word of God. Don't tell me God can't turn stuff around. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. About 30 minutes down the road from my daddy, I got another brother, 26, standing behind a pulpit preaching the Word of God. I'm just letting you know that God can give you a beginning, and everything you think you are locked into, God can flip upside down. I'm here, and I'm just going to say this. If we let my mama preach, she could probably preach better than most men I know. I said all that to say this. I'm glad I got my beginning. I'm glad I got my Gilgal. I'm glad it was a couple years later that God saved me personally, but I'm glad and I don't ever want to get over. You will spend the rest of your life feeding off of your beginning. You will spend the rest of your life when things get hard. You can look back at that beginning, your Gilgal, and say, you know what? God was good then and He'll be good tomorrow.
Amen.
Elijah said, tarry here. Elisha said, not on your life. Said, don't do it without me. You've got to have a good beginning. Somebody here, you may not be saved. You may never have got your start. You may never begin. I got saved as a religious kid sitting on a pew. So I knew how to sing the songs. I knew how to tie the double Windsor. I knew how to do everything just right. But I'd sit there when them Holy Ghost preachers started preaching about the power of God living inside a man. And I had no clue what they was talking about. One night on my bunk bed, I cried out to God and said, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of hiding. And God listened to me and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me ask you a question. Have you got a beginning yet? Have you had your beginning yet? Oh, it's well that you enjoy me talking about my beginning and the preacher talking about his beginning. But what about yours? Do you have a testimony at all? Gilgal is a place of beginnings. Look secondly, and I'm moving on. Second place was Bethel. Elijah said, I'm going on. Tarry here. The Lord told me to go to Bethel. Bethel is a place of blessings. It's what I call the place of dreams. Genesis chapter number 28, you'll find that's where Jacob fell asleep on that piece of that, on that stone that night. And God gave him a vision and a dream of angels ascending and descending. And when I read this, I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me through your word? And this is what the Lord showed me. Before you can ever have a mantle, you got to learn how to dream about a mantle. Brother David, how many years did you sit here and watch the mantle on him and say, I wish? Will God ever do anything with me? Oh, dream about the mantle of God. It was such a joy to me to look back and be thankful for the days that I quit dreaming about being a football player. And I quit dreaming about being a good basketball player and quit dreaming about the things of this world. And I started dreaming about being a Holy Ghost filled preacher with the power of God and a double portion. Now, hear me well. I don't care how much money I make. I don't care if I'm the most fortunate or the most famous. All I care when I die is that I have the Holy Ghost mantle and the power of God on my life. But before you'll ever have a mantle,
you've
got to learn how to dream about one. That old daddy of mine, he's pastor now. And several years back, 5 or 6, 7 maybe now, had a good church, well paid, everything was wonderful, a good package. And God up and said, go. Is the home that ran the Christian school I grew up in. Everybody knew us. Everybody loved Daddy. He was the whole town's pastor. It was a good work. Everything was well. And Dad calls me in the middle of the night while I was in North Augusta going to college. And he said, son, God's told me to resign. I'm done. I'm leaving. I tried. I said, Daddy, you're off your rocker. You can't restart something. You're too old. Dad, what are you thinking? Everybody thought my dad was an idiot. But God gave him a dream. He said, God's done told me what's going to happen. He said, I'm leaving. And he no more than left. And all them people that used to love him, now they're talking bad about him. They're making up allegations. They're saying this and saying that. They're doing their best to kill my daddy. It about killed my mama. I remember her going through depression. I remember my daddy walking in the room, finding little depression pills where that hero of my faith, my dad who was the bulwark, nothing ever bothered him. Now he's on antidepressants because he can't take the brethren cutting him down. He can't take the problems of it all. Many times I remember thinking, oh, Daddy missed it. Daddy missed it. Daddy missed it. It was just maybe a year later, Dad went about 45 minutes up the road and started in a little storefront in a little building, didn't have nothing, didn't have no money. He was in debt to his eyeballs, just trying to get my mom's medication paid for every single week with no income. And it looked like my dad was an idiot. But he had a dream. And time went on. For years he carried 30 or 40 people every single week. And I thought, my, how does Dad do this? They used to have balconies full, used to be slap full of people, and now that man of God who ought to be in a big church somewhere with the power of God is sitting every single week preaching to 30 and 40 people that don't even really care what's going on. The best preachers told him, said, you just need to go. You need to go somewhere else. You need to go pastor a church where it's already. You just need to go do something else. He said, but I can't. God told me to do what I'm doing. And time went by. And he called me. He said, across town somebody called. And there was a Methodist church that had folded and shut their doors. He said, I think I'm going to go try to buy it. I said, but Daddy, you ain't got no money. He said, I know. He said, but I believe I got a word from the Lord. He said, I'm going to go meet with them tomorrow. And he went in there. He said, it was a multi-million dollar facility, education wing, big old building. I mean, the Methodists did it all up. Everett had two pulpits for them, for the women and one for the men. Brother Dean came up there before they remodeled everything. And Brother Dean just switched pulpits every single night. Dad sat down with them and man said, well, how much are you offering? Dad said, how about $100,000? Man said, sir, this is millions of dollars worth of property. You can't buy it for $100,000. He said, well, that's all I can come up with, sir. He said, if any other offers fall through, give me a call. He said, well, it's not. He said, that car dealership across the road, they've already offered us $1.5 million and we're going to settle with them. Dad said, well, I hope that goes well for you. I'm just doing what God told me to do. He said, I got $100,000. I can give you the building. 2 days later, that man calls my dad back. He said, sir? He said, we was sitting down with the lawyers fixing to make the final closings on this building with that car dealership. He said, but as we were writing the deed, he said, the lawyer read the fine print at the bottom of the deed. And whoever it was that built this building, they thought so much about the church that they said if this building is ever to be sold, it can only be sold to another church. I said, what'd you do, Daddy? He said, I got in the Holy Ghost right there and started thinking about a God that long before He kicked me out of where I was, He knew where I was headed. I was up here just a month or so ago preaching at my daddy's church. It's about the same size as this. And I looked out and the whole bottom section was full. The balcony was full. The choirs were full. The church buses was running. Little kids are getting saved every week. And I thought what the world thought was nothing and what the world laughed at. And when the world gave up on him, I'm glad God gave him a dream. And when everything looked bad, I'm glad when you're chasing the power of God, He'll give you a dream to follow after. Before you can have a manna, you got to learn how to dream about one. Thirdly, Elijah said, tarry here. I'm going to Jericho. I won't stay here long, but Jericho is a place of battles. Place of battles. I love what I get to do. Becky loves when I go off and preach because if I'm not off preaching, I preach to her at the house. I live it. I sleep it. I dream it. I wake up in the middle of the night preaching. I'm passionate. I love this thing. I think it's a wonder why God would even mess with a nobody like me. And I'm so passionate about what I do. But there's one area about it that I just dislike. And it is the fact that every man of God that I've ever sought after, every man of God that I've ever looked at, play Brother Jerry, Just get on that pen. Every man of God that I've ever thought, my, I'd like to have what he have. I'd like to have somewhat of a mantle like he's got. You dig into their lives, and it's slap full of battle after battle after battle after battle. I'm here now, and I get to see the fruit of the vine. I had no clue there was a storefront. See, because most time, young fellas like me, we come in and we say, wow, I'd love to have what Brother Ken, that's what everybody says, I'd love to have a church like that. Brother Ken's got it made in the shade with a glass of lemonade. Yeah. But I promise you, you go back and sit down with the preacher and reminisce about where you've been. I promise you, find some blood stains on that mantle. Find some war scars on that mantle. Slap full of battles. And I don't have to stay here long because about all of us know that there's battles involved with this. But it's worth it. I think about that old song, whatever it takes to be closer to you, Lord, that's what I'd be willing to do. Let me put a disclaimer. You better be real careful before you sing that song. But Elisha, when Elijah said, I'm going to Jericho, Elisha didn't even hesitate, because the mantle was more important to Elisha than the battles was. There'll be some battles, but there's a greater goal in this thing. It's picking up that mantle. And lastly, and I'm done, going to Jordan, Elijah's final place. Jordan's a place of bidding. A place of bidding. Jordan River type of death. You want to know what every preacher that's ever preached to you's been doing? Saying, come on. Come on. And they're bidding you to come step into the life of victory with your mantle. This morning the preacher gets up, and with the power of God and tears in his eyes, the main thing he's doing is trying to get a church. He talked about a building. You can hear it in his mind. God's gave him a dream and a vision. He's saying, come on, church. Y'all can't see it yet, but there's wings going. You ain't seen what's in his mind. There's a church you ain't never even seen yet. And God's got a mantle up here. And the preacher's saying, come on, y'all. Look what God's going to do. Come on, y'all. Come get your mantle. And let's do something like Bowden ain't never seen before. Lord, whatever you're doing. Little Tucker stretched his arms out. Said, Lord, Daddy, whatever you're doing, just don't do it without me. Some Christians in here tonight need to find them a place on the altar. Say, I got me a beginning. Thankful for the place of blessings. Thankful for my battles, and I'm glad God me brought through. But Lord, this place of bidding, the place of crossing over from being an average Christian to being a person that goes after the power of God in my life. God, tonight I'm going to make a difference. God, I'm coming after the mantle. Don't do it without me. Lord, don't do it without me. Heads bowed, eyes are closed as we stand to our feet.